lights out, we're underway. Smoke Sport Republic of Podcast.
All right, we are back. T-Shavs is back.
Thanks, everyone, for their patience.
You're alive.
Well, I'm alive. Japan for 3 weeks. Long time.
Long time, bro. Crazy.
Thanks
long time.
For Dan being age for filling in for the 2 weeks.
Amazing.
Really appreciate it. They're not as funny nor as good looking as me, but it was a good feeling. Good feeling. Dude, we have a massive ep. Like,
bro.
And look, we like to celebrate the milestones here at Republica, and you know, it goes without saying, it's our 2 year anniversary.
2 year anniversary. 2 years,
two
bro.
Years. So thanks everyone, all our listeners, you know, followers. It's been an amazing ride.
It's been awesome. So. Daniel was along for a lot of it as well. Yep. Thank you, Daniel.
And Curtis.
He just gives us the two finger salute. But yeah, 2 years, bro. Huge.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And to celebrate 2 years, yep. We've unveiled a new Go on, they're gonna see it in the opening intro anyway, but the a new logo. Get it going. I got the t-shirt on here. You might be able to see a tiny bit of it, but there it is there. But you turn your phone on. He's calling ya. Jesus Christ.
There it is.
There's a new logo. Motorsport Repo. Oh, go down a bit lower. No one can see it. There we go.
So yeah, it's a very special occasion for us. So
added a bit of spice to it, a bit of colour.
Well, I think the color, I mean, I'm not wearing it, but I think it just pops the new color. And I think, it's a new beginning for us, a new start.
Yeah.
And let's get it going.
Yeah.
New chapter in our amazing story so far. So
2 years, but we just want to say, as you said, thank you so much to all the listeners. Without all the viewers, all the listeners, all the guys on Patreon, guys and girls, thank you for listening and commenting. Yeah. It's means a lot. And we try and get back to everyone and we try and read everyone's stuff, and it's really cool to build a bit of a community at the same time.
That's the biggest thing I've taken from this is just, I mean, like we joke about it, but like, you know, it's Republica. It really is. I mean, we've got a lot of things planned for the future and we're super excited about them. It's been a bit of a slow burn the last few months just because we need to obviously raise some funds and stuff, but we've got some super exciting stuff in the works for the next couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, 100%.
We've got a couple of Grand Prix coming up. We're going to be going to next year, probably Europe's on the card. So, and just more and more content for us.
We've got a cool special ep coming up that hopefully we're going to do more and more of after Silverstone.
With the bros.
With the bros. So, you're going to be treated to a few more extra episodes, which is cool. Shout out as well to Listy for helping design the new logo.
Yeah, thanks,
Ryan List. He's Adobe master, so he had to put up with all our dumb decisions and what we wanted to do, but he was awesome.
And how did we pay him again?
We paid him in a hoodie. And he was more than happy with that. He was loving it.
Thanks, Rhino.
Daniel and the Color Cartel for hooking us up with some hoodies and some tees and stuff like that. Yep. So check out the Color Cartel. Really, really good guys down there.
Yeah, and it goes without saying the support we've had from, you know, a lot of different people and businesses over the years. Motor Heaven's been the number one. So
number one.
We appreciate them. Jump on board, guys. And Nemean.clothing as well. Jump on board with them. Have a look at their great range of protective gear. So
I love it.
Yeah.
I love, bro, how's Japan?
Yeah, dude, it was...
call me dude?
Yeah, new chapter, bro.
Yeah, new chapter.
New chapter.
Yeah, cuz.
A crazy place, guys. I would love to be there for Montegi or Suzuka, but we went as me and my missus as a little bit of a holiday, and it was a fantastic, crazy place.
To butter the missus over so you can go and do more Republica stuff.
Correct,
all right?
correct. Yeah, well, yeah, true. But
actually, fair enough. It's so fair enough. Yeah. It's so fair enough.
So, yeah, it was...
I held down the fort in the...
You did. You did.
Down here, so that's all right.
You did an amazing job, James. Thank you for your...
Anyway, well, how's it going? How was it over there?
Bro, it was good. I mean, like...
Was it hot?
Nah, 26 degrees.
Sweating.
I was hot, like humid.
Yeah.
But I was all right. Like, it was like shorts and t-shirt every day. It wasn't like, oh my God, it's like out of control. But guys, if you think of doing it, just do it. It's getting over tourists though. There's a lot of, and the problem,
everyone's going there.
Oh yeah, and the problem is the South Continent is heading there.
Yeah.
In flocks, you know, yeah, like in droves.
The locals not like it.
Wow, I couldn't understand them. But it's go there while you can.
How'd you go with the language barrier,
bro? You need like konnichiwa.
Arigato.
Arigato.
How you just said arigato was the most Aussie thing I've ever
heard. Arigato. Arigato gozaimasu is like thank you very much. And yeah, it's easy. You got Google Translate.
So everyone in Tokyo speaks a lot of English, though, don't they?
No, bro.
Oh, really?
Nah, not like, I think the younger generation do. Because they learn it in school, but the older generations, a lot of it's, they don't know.
Really? Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
So it's like you go to these local restaurants and no one speaks. The mum and the nan and the pot restaurant, they don't speak English. You're like, you got the menu's in Japanese. You got to take a photo of it, Google Translate it. And then you got to point at the menu when you're ordering it. It's like, it seems super rude, but like, it's just how it is over there.
Oh, as long as you can kind of do it.
But yeah, Mount Fuji was crazy. We're going to drive to Mount Fuji, the circuit. We almost got there, but then it was going to be such a big detour. So we headed back to Tokyo and majestic place really is.
Did you do like the you were in the Skyline GTR and your missus in the bullet train and do a race across Japan?
Did they do that?
Yeah.
Oh, did they?
Good, you were like that one.
Yeah.
That was one of their best steps.
Yeah, I mean, I have to watch that again, but that's
Top Gear.
I went on the bullet train. That's crazy as well. It's 300 k's an hour, that thing.
Yeah.
There's no way you
don't feel like you're doing it. Everyone says that it doesn't feel like you're doing it.
Yeah, it doesn't. You look outside, it's just zoom, like it's just crazy. But yeah, it doesn't feel like you're going like Formula One speeds down on the train tracks. But bro, nothing's beating that bullet train. Beating that bullet train. It is so fast. Like you're going from Tokyo to Osaka, which is like going from Melbourne to, but not Sydney, but Melbourne to probably like south of Sydney in like 2 hours.
Hey, don't bag out the V-line. The old Aussie V-line, mate. That's 8 hours. That's
8 hours in like no comfort at all. This thing's like and beautiful. So... And then you go past Mount Fuji to see it on a clear day. So, yeah, it was a crazy experience. But happy to be back, man. Happy to be back. Let's get back into racing.
You weren't flying planes into boats?
Kamikaze.
Yeah.
No.
Kamikan.
But on that, it was very hard to watch the race. And I touched on it the last couple of weeks.
tell me.
There's no TV that shows English stations.
Yeah.
The bars don't know... like what MotoGP is, first of all.
Yeah.
Another bar is not going to be up at 6 a.m. or 5 a.m. to watch Miami. So for me, it was on my phone, 480p, because the internet on my eSIM was terrible. But yeah, as I touched on last week with a phone call, like that was one of the best MotoGP races I've ever watched. Rewatched it. Miami was really good as well. And then, yeah, last night was a great race.
Yeah.
And I didn't think it was going to be. It was a real race to the first corner. I can't get over that pass from Max Verstappen. I'm thinking about it today. I'm going in thinking like lap one, turn one. I think it's possibly the best pass I've ever seen.
A lot of people are saying that.
Yeah. I mean, there's been some unbelievable ones over the years, but I mean, you can argue that Oscar broke a bit too early because he was worried about Russell on the inside, but
conservative,
like, bro,
yeah.
Like, you know, Max just sends
how
it.
He pulled it. How he pulled it up though, made the corner, and then they obviously Oscar gave him room, but it was like majestic watching.
Yeah,
it.
Like Mount Fuji. But it was unbelievable to see. I was sitting there with Mo. I was watching with my old man. He was up for the weekend, and we were gasped.
Yeah,
you know, I was like, oh my god, he's done it. Like it was just insane, and what he's doing with that car and. You know, 25 points behind, 30 points behind, just hanging on. There might be an upgrade coming. He's still got a chance. The championship's back on. Like, it's...
That's crazy, man. But do you think if Oscar made that first corner, do you think... Obviously, that he got dicked by his McLaren, his team, which we'll speak about. Yeah. But if he was first, do you reckon he would have stayed out longer and then won that race? Because it seems like it was still a race to the first corner.
Look, I mean, there's so many hindsight
ideas
today. Definitely a mistake for McLaren to pit Oscar into the traffic. But re-watching that start of the race, you had to look at Leclerc. Leclerc was stuck in traffic. They pitted him. He was doing fastest laps.
But did he have fresh air come when he came out of the pits?
He did, yeah, coming up through the field. And then they were like, oh my God, that's the strategy. We've got to pit Piastri now. This is our chance.
And Piastri was saying that, though. To their credit, he was saying, like, is this going to be ambitious being on these tyres for like 20
or 18? Yeah, he was. He called it. He made the call, the wrong call. But in hindsight, the team's got to make that call. Yeah. Like, the team driving a car around a track that quick, you don't know what traffic's going to be behind. You don't know where you're going to feed out to. So you can't let the driver make that call unless it's for a rain tire or something like that. You've got to leave that in the team's hands. They've got all the data. They're watching the whole field.
They know what's going on. They know everyone's sector times.
They knew how hard it was going to be to pass into that first corner. Now, there was a big headwind actually on that front straight. So passing was a lot easier than what they anticipated through the whole weekend. For the race. So for me, I don't know, looking back at it, the VRC would have come out. They all would have pitted anyway. Max would have still come out.
Oh, he had two pit stops under safety car.
Yeah. So to be honest with you, Max, he actually had one of the most perfect weekends.
I know, yeah.
Because if you look at, I wrote all this down. I mean, he passes for the lead turn one. He comes out in front. He gets 2-3 second lead. Piastri then pits into traffic.
Yeah.
So perfect scenario for Max. Yeah. Max, then the tyres overheat between lap 10 and 15, which they were saying on commentary. Then the medium tyre got good again.
Which is crazy.
So now he's doing fast pace again.
Yeah.
You got Lando 9.5 seconds behind.
We're just keeping that gap.
VRC comes out. He pits. Perfect. He's got even more of a gap because Lando pits a lap before the VRC. So even again in Max's favour. And then a safety car comes out. Now that is against Max because obviously the field tightens up. But then you got the 16 lap old tyre, Piastri, behind him, between him and Norris. So he's going to win the race easily. Yeah.
But then, like, that's the thing that there was the argument of McLaren is like, should they have let Lando through? And Lando was coming out saying that without saying that. And I can understand his argument, but I still think it's refreshing that they're just letting them race. But Piastri was still a sitting duck of 16 lap old tyres. But, like, they're both fighting for the world title. Yeah. How can you, either side of it on any team, how can you separate that?
And Norris wouldn't have been in that position if Piastri didn't get dicked on the, for a lack of a better term.
It's just weird that they ran two massive different strategies.
I mean, again, they probably should have pitted Norris, but this goes back to the same notion that they don't want this problem where they're going to try to let a driver through. So if you you pit Norris early, then he gets the advantage.
And then
there's going to be a point in the race, oh no, can you move over and let Oscar through? They don't want that anymore because they got such a massive backlash from the public when it last happened in Hungary last year. So that's, again, I reckon that plays in the back of their minds.
God, it was frustrating as a Piastri fan. Two of their pit stops was like 3.3 seconds.
Yeah, it's a good point. And look, I had to hold myself back. I'm a massive Max fan. But I'm getting on and Dammy goes, you're becoming a Ross, not a Rossi tard, an Oscar tard. I think I've jumped on the bandwagon because I was shattered when they pitted him into the traffic yesterday. And I'm thinking, no. And like, and for me, like Max, you know, he's my man. But we've got to be neutral.
It's actually, for some reason, I'm finding it so hard. This is the hardest I've been trying to be neutral out of any sport, out of MotoGP, or for some reason, I'm so hooked on Piastri winning.
Well, yeah, it's, I mean, it's...
Sorry to all our British listeners.
well, hang on. We watched the British coverage.
It's rough, man.
I know. Remember last year we talked about how well Piastri was doing and they didn't talk about it, you know? And now, I mean, they finally got it, but they still... I mean, it's the British coverage, so...
It's still all about how Lando can do this, how Lando can do that, and how...
Yeah.
Anyway.
But back to that first corner, I have to talk about it. I mean, roles reversed. Is Verstappen running Piastri off the road?
Oh, yeah.
100%, isn't he?
Bro, without a doubt. And they basically said that in the commentary.
Yeah.
That's just... And look, how do I say this? I'm so excited you're back. I can't speak.
I have that effect on me.
Piastri probably in hindsight should have done that. Yeah. And should have done that in a clean way.
Yep.
If you want to... And he can still become world champion. I don't doubt that. But with Max, there's no doubt he's going to do that move. Yeah, instinctively, he's going to do that move.
It's in his mind already.
Instinctively, he's going to do that move where... every other driver on the grid, I don't think will. And and that's clearly the difference. Yeah. And that's why he won the race.
Yep.
Because he knows, Max Verstappen knows, if he makes a tough move, he's going to have room. But everyone else knows, if they try and make a tough move, Max is going to give them zero room. So, Tommy, anyway, I've been looking at getting a new helmet.
Okay, right, you are.
A replica helmet.
Okay.
So I'm looking at either like a Marc Marquez, Shoei, Rossi AGV, or controversially like a Nakagami Arai. What do you think?
Well, I think Nakagami Arai might be a bad idea because they'd have to build them strong. You know, repeat hits throughout the whole weekend.
That's right.
Where would you find something like that?
Mate, motoheaven.com.au. They have all the helmet brands that you want. They've got all the racing suits, jackets, big brands, HJC, Shoei, Dainese, Alps. Mate, they have everything. How good's that?
That is so good. And I heard like there's free delivery over $150 as well.
Free delivery over $150. Super, super fast dispatch, which is amazing all around the country. They do an excellent job. You just check out their Google reviews. It's like all 5 stars. It's pretty amazing. They do a great job.
Give the people the website.
Motoheaven.com.au. Check them out. They are the best in the business for all your motorcycle needs. And they've got a parts finder. You can get all the parts you want. Brake discs, chains, sprockets, spark plugs. I know that's all gobbledygook to you, Tom. But that is they are the best in the business. Head down to motoheaven.com.au and they will look after you.
And they've got him. He's won in their minds before the race has started.
It's a classic Marc Marquez situation,
it is,
bro.
It is. And it's the same. Senna was the same. Yeah. Like, no one liked fighting with Senna because he gave nothing.
Yeah.
And if there was a gap there, he went for it. Yeah. It's the same situation with Max. I mean, you just can't give him an inch. That same scenario in 2021 Imola, Hamilton and Verstappen went into that corner and Verstappen ran him off the road.
Yeah.
He ran him off the road. He actually broke his front wing, decisive part of the championship as well. That's how ruthless you got to be if you want to win a world championship. Yeah. And it goes back to this, what we've been saying for months and months and months. McLaren have to take advantage at the moment, and they're not.
I know.
Max took advantage last year at the start of the year, won all these races, won the championship, and they're still not taking... Max is not, he's not got the fastest car on the grid, and he just keeps putting it there.
Are you, if you're a betting man, if someone gave you $10 on who you're putting your $10 on to win a title right now? That's a hard decision.
I think Oscar Piastri is I've still got him. I think Oscar Piastri.
Yeah.
I think.
But like, Max is just is winning at these driver's tracks. These drivers' tracks. Suzuka, Imola. They're tracks where you can't make mistakes. That's why it was so refreshing watching Gasly go through the sand trap.
Bro, how was that? That car was acting like...
It looked like a motocross bike.
Yeah, that was wild. Did that on himself as well. I thought he got touched, but he just went wild.
But that's what the commentator said as well. Like, they're not used to not having tarmac out there. And it's so refreshing to see. Yeah. And it's just...
It's a great point.
And Max doesn't make mistakes, or very, very rarely makes mistakes. And like, these are driver tracks. They're not tarmac, you know.
And that corner you're talking about where Gasly went off, they actually brought the sand in this year.
Nice.
Further in. Nice. So, and then look at that. Yeah. It does make it more exciting. The track looks more spectacular with sand as well.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
And there's a big thing at the moment with Imola. Is it going to be the last Grand Prix? I mean, that's... They've been talking about that all weekend. I think it was a super boring race. I mean, it could be the difference. It really could be between them keeping the contract or them not keeping the contract, how good that race was.
Mm.
And this goes again, credit where credit's due to Pirelli. They brought a brand new tire this weekend, a C6 they call it, which is a softer compound that they've used through the whole year. And obviously going to that softest compound, then the medium tire is one step softer. The hard tire is one step softer. So then it produces that, is it a one stop? Is it a two stop race? And then it's a more exciting race. So credit where credit's due. You have to look at 2012 when they had tires that just fell off the cliff and their racing was super exciting. So we're coming back to this. There's so many regulation changes now with, you know, they're trying to put double DRSs on the car. They're trying to change everything. But at the end of the day, the contact to that tarmac is the tire.
Yeah.
And that's one of the most important things. You start changing the tire compound, putting them off the cliff, giving them a really soft compound, it's more exciting racing.
Yeah.
So credit where credit's due. They brought out They weren't even going to bring this tyre out this year, I was told. They tested it at Abu Dhabi late last year. And they brought it for, I think, this weekend and next weekend, where we're going to have a two-stop race.
Yeah, Monaco. So how good's that?
That's this weekend. So.
Oh, it's a doubleheader, is it?
It is.
Oh, so we've got Silverstone and Monaco.
Wow. That's a and the Indy 500.
Jesus.
It's a big weekend. Big weekend. So, wait, Silverstone. That's interesting. I wonder what they're going to do there. I wonder if the F1 and the MotoGP... Oh, MotoGP will be on at 10 o'clock and the F1 will be on at 11 o'clock.
That's happened before. Remember when they used to run Moto3, MotoGP, Moto2? It was because of this weekend.
Yeah. But they don't do that anymore.
No, they don't.
No, they change that rule. It's the MotoGP always has to be at the last.
Which
now.
Is good. That's the way to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's perfect. Oh, geez, what a big weekend. I didn't even think about
it. Superbike Shaw's going to be down for it.
Poh.
How are we going to survive
and
this?
And Essendon versus Richmond, our teams. Bloody hell, what a big weekend.
Oh, shit.
How good is it to be back in Australia? Bloody, why would you want to travel?
Yeah, it's pretty good. We got it good.
We do.
It ain't the jewel of the South, North Carolina.
You see, Drace, when I messaged him, he loved it. Oh, goddamn, you're right, man. You're goddamn right.
Funny.
Yeah, it was.
I did see that. I was pissing myself laughing.
But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I just touched on the tyres, but I think the one-stop strategy at the end was probably the right call, but then obviously the safety car came out, and then it became a two-stop race for everyone. You know one thing I have not done, James, is the results.
Oh, true. I was wondering you didn't do it, and then we just got straight into it.
Sorry about that. Max Verstappen first, Lando Norris second, Oscar Piastri third, Lewis Hamilton fourth, Alex Albon fifth, Charles Leclerc, 6th. George Russell, 7th. Carlos Sainz, 8th. Isaac Hadjar, 10th. And Yuki Tsunoda from the pit lane, 10th.
Salvage job for Ferrari.
Dude, they had a really good race. They had a really good race.
Because they were under the pump that.
So what did they qualify? 11th and 12th, I think, in the end. And for them to come up, 4th and 5th.
Really good race by both of them.
And Leclerc did come in early and change the tyre. What wasn't the ideal strategy, but then probably got a little bit lucky. Hamilton got lucky with the safety car. But, I mean, a lot of them got lucky. Mm. Who didn't get lucky was Fernando Alonso. Mm. That was horrible. He was 5th the whole race and then...
Well, even Charles was talking about how unlucky he was with the safety car.
Yeah.
It's just funny.
But it's weird. They get, I mean, it just goes round in circles, isn't it? I mean, it's just one of those
He's an unlucky driver, though. I think he walked under about 10 ladders and kicked 10 black cats. Oh, yeah.
Good
to be back, baby. Good to be back.
Back to Ferrari. They had a really strong pace, and that saved there. That saved some big embarrassment for them to finish 4th and 5th.
Really good.
4th and 6th. So.
And like, you know, everyone was giving them shit about Williams and how good Williams is going.
Man, they're really good. I mean, even Aston Martin, they qualified 5th and 6th.
Yeah.
Strange qualifying. Mm. Very strange. So the medium tyre was probably the preferred tyre to qualify on. It was probably the faster tyre.
Yeah.
Because that soft tyre they had didn't even last one lap. So what?
That's like an old qualifying tyre.
It was. Essentially, it was. I mean, so Fernando Alonso and Stroll came out in Q2 on mediums when everyone else was on softs.
Yeah.
And then Blitz got in 5th and 6th into Q3. And then they used the same tyre. This is not a lot of people don't realise. They used the same medium tyre that they used in Q2 in Q3 and were 5th and 8th.
Crazy.
So the tyre hung on for two laps and... But the only issue with that is, and what we found out in the race, same thing happened to Russell, is they're starting the race on used mediums when everyone else is on brand new mediums because they saved the tyre through qualifying.
Yeah, that's
right. Makes sense? So then Russell, he just went back. I mean, I think he had an issue with a car. And then same thing with Alonso. He hung on at the start, but...
He did.
Essentially, that was the wrong call because to put the two-lap stress through that tyre completely... completely wrecked his race by the looks of it.
I think it's hard getting them back up the temperature and up to like usable conditions.
Yeah, they're so finicky. Like it's amazing. And we talked about that before about between lap 10 and lap 15, they were all going backwards in times and then Leclerc pitted and then he was like fastest lap.
Mm.
So that's what forced McLaren, oh my God, we need to do this strategy. Then the tyre came back to them and they controlled the temperature and then it was going pretty much the same pace as a brand new hard tire. So yeah, it was a really strategic race, really enjoyed it. And I'm super, like, this two stop for Monaco is super going to be exciting.
I can't wait.
Yeah, it's going to make the race super interesting. So I'm really interested to see what they're going to do, what tire they're going to start on. Is it going to be like a, I don't know. I mean, there's talk that they might wait for the second last lap and pit in the last lap.
I think
pit.
They're bringing the Ashfeld in from Albert Park as well, I heard.
for Bahrain.
He bought that up. He bought that up on
did
the
he
pod.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't listen to that. I didn't hit that part. Hilarious. Yeah. No, James, I didn't say that. I said not the actual lap.
That's funny. Yeah. Nah, funny, James. I understand. Yeah.
He's looking over there. He's talking to you.
Even Curdy just staring into each other's eyes.
Back to Aston Martin. They had upgrades this weekend, and Andrew Newey, his first real upgrade of the car. So it did show that they improved.
Yeah.
But then it really throughout the race, because of their tire choice and how unlucky they got with the safety car, probably didn't show their true colours. But watch Alonso in Monaco.
Driver's track. It's a qualifying.
Yeah, well, it is, but this two-stop.
Yeah, true.
This is the big thing this year. It's a two-stop. And then they have to make two stops. Like, they have to.
Where do you pass in Monaco? If you're going to pass, where do you pass?
There's no pass. The first corner, but the problem is they're so big, these cars.
They're too wide.
You just block the inside line and you're fine. Yeah. So, it's an interesting one. If I was,
you've got to undercut someone.
It's all,
like,
but
that.
That's where it's going to be. I mean, it's essentially a.
You got to keep it though, bro. Monaco, you got to keep it.
They'll keep it. The jewel of the north.
No, it's the jewel of the southern France.
Jewel of the Mediterranean.
Because it's too much prestige, like North Carolina. That's known for its prestige.
It is North Carolina, the jewel of the South. All stars on the grid, man. I've never seen apart from Monaco, I've never seen such a stacked grid.
Well,
from celebrities.
Well, okay, hang on. Let's say more. How do I relatable celebrities? Sports celebrities.
Good point.
Because it's not like dumb, like musicians or actors that don't give a shit anyway.
Yeah, but it was. I mean, that Ted War. He had Rossi with
And it was Ronaldo.
Ronaldo. And there was
Digi Antonio was there. Marini was there. There would have been some soccer players or some
shit. Yeah, but it was really cool. I mean, I think some real fans were there. That was the cool thing.
Yannick Sinner, who won
drug cheat.
Yeah, won a tournament. Was like thanking his brother, and he's like, "Oh, he's actually not here. He's at the Imola Grand Prix."
No way, I didn't see that.
Yeah, apparently he always goes to his matches, but he wanted to go to the Formula One.
That's so good.
But yeah, that was cool. Ronaldo and Rossi there was sick.
Yeah, having Rossi there, Ted really fumbled that interview.
But bro, didn't he? It's like, so how's the team? Oh, like, he got like nervous.
Yeah.
I guess he would though.
Oh yeah, I mean, he's one of the biggest motorsport stars ever, isn't he?
So. But he fumbled it and Rossi gave him nothing.
Well, you've got to be more professional than that. I can't
just, Ted was
Ted was getting, like, as and Mark was saying this, head was exploding. Like,
yeah,
it was weird. Like, he's normally pretty calm and collective, but
that's what we should be doing,
yeah,
not him.
Yeah, I know. Like, he's been doing it for 20 years, and he's fumbling it hard. Like, he goes, "Oh, come to the back. They're working on Russell's car. Come." I'm like, "What? Jeez, just chill, bro. Like, you're getting too excited."
And then when Ronaldo's like, "I remember," he's like, "Nah, you can't remember me. You can't
just
remember
take
me."
Take the compliment. Take the compliment. It was a strange one.
Simp.
Harry Benjamin, Anthony, what's
don't
his
know,
name?
Bro.
Yeah, the commentator. They did an okay job, but you miss it. You miss.
It's like, you know what it's like watching a Formula 2 race.
Yeah, it is. And look, you just got used to voices, and we talk about this with commentary all the time. And I mean, you get used to, I've grown up with Martin Brundle, and even Crofty. I mean, I've developed a real loving for his commentary over the years. Harry does a brilliant job. Because it is such a hard gig. I mean, if you sit down, we got invited down to the mini bikes a few weeks ago, the Ovales, and there was some talk. Oh, let's jump on commentary. I'm thinking, how the hell do they? Oh, we couldn't even do it.
Nah.
You couldn't even do it. And these kids are 7 year olds riding around. Imagine doing the Formula One race.
I'd be way too biased.
Yeah. Well, that's the hard thing, isn't it? You have to really sit on the fence.
Here's an idea. in the footy, in Aussie rules football, and they might do this in NFL and EPL for our international listeners, they have commentary for just your team.
Yeah.
They should do that for Formula One, for like your McLaren fans. So if like a McLaren commentator that's just going on a Ferrari one. How cool would that be? Press red for red, red for Ferrari.
Yeah, that's an idea. Because I know they do like the Italian commentary is like crazy about Ferrari, I think.
Yeah. But it'd be good for like the Western, like English, Americans, Aussies. Everyone's got such different teams.
Because I know Carlton,
how funny would like a Dutch one would be?
Yeah, because Carlton do that, don't they, for the AFL?
When Collingwood played Richmond years ago, they did that.
Yeah,
but we both had our own like commentary box.
That's funny.
But they should do that. It'd be funny.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Take that to
We'll do McLaren with Piastri.
Yeah, true. We should.
We'll show them how it's done. And it's a bit looser. It's a little bit different. It's better than going to the McLaren box with all the window lickers there in England. Remember that? But what happened? Why did they... Is it when someone won or crashed where they all started licking the floor?
I reckon it was like the moon landing. It was filmed like weeks earlier.
Bro, you know like when something happens, we're both watching on TV, I instantly thought of you and you instantly. Yeah. It's like we telepathically like touch tips.
That was ridiculous though. Like... The fans, I mean, I don't know, like, they must have just picked the most autistic fans they could possibly pick.
It was bad.
Yeah. One was clapping like this. Like, I'm assuming it wasn't, like, a special ed thing or something. Special ed, special school thing.
Shout out to Eddie Leeson.
Hey, we sneak him in there.
Should follow at Special Ed. Aussie Superbike rider. One of our boys, Republic of Riders. But you're right, I think they did just sneak him in there, bro. Because hardcore fans and anything are autistic as.
It's true. And you look
and at... we're autistic. We're not saying we're not autistic, bro. No, we're full tiz.
Yeah,
we're full tiz.
We've got tism on the couch over here.
so, like, we're one of them. We're floor lickers.
No, we are, 100%. And the same thing goes to, like... I was saying this to my mum on when I watched the footy. I said, Mum, all those guys... All those... men and women in the cheer squads and AFL are the biggest autistic people because they're obsessed.
Bro, I was at the footy yesterday.
Yeah.
There's a guy, and people don't know, I'm a massive, massive Richmond fan. There's an autistic guy in the... and I was with someone who's never seen the Richmond cheer squad before. Every 5 minutes, he takes off his jersey and has a different jersey underneath.
What?
He wears like 40 different jerseys. And has to just keep taking it off. And then he's like, make it more. It's just it's autistic as.
You had to be there sort of thing.
The 40 jerseys are someone else.
That's fire. That's lucky it's not a summer sport.
Yeah, lucky you're in Melbourne, huh? You get a bit chilly at the end of the game, though.
Yuki Tsunoda's crash.
Yeah, huge, man.
Massive. Took a lot of curb, walks away, which, you know, it's a...
Wasn't his fault compared, according to Danby.
Oh, no.
Yeah. No, I'm joking. You'll kill me.
Oh, my goodness. But it was interesting seeing all the drivers so concerned.
Yeah.
They're all going, is he all right? Is he all right? I mean, it's obviously there's so much history at that track.
True, that's a good point.
It's, I mean, that's a corner. It's the I actually put up on our Instagram how the track changed from 1994 to where it is now. There was a change in between those two tracks anyway, but that used to be a flat, left-hander Tamburello where Senna died and then a flat right-hander where Ratzenberger died, and that was where the first chicane is when obviously Senna, and that second chicane where Yuki crashed was you know where Ratzenberger, obviously totally different corners how they used to be, but you know the difference. I mean, he walks away, he's fine. I mean, the car was flying through the air. I mean,
the halo,
you know, it's it is incredible. So
I don't think that's changed at all, though, with Formula One drivers. Like, if someone's hurt, like, I've seen footage of other people getting out of the car and dragging people out.
Yeah, 100%.
They're all concerned because they're all in the same boat.
It's probably something they advertised it more there because of the history of it. But,
for sure.
But, yeah, they were generally like, oh, my God. Like, it was interesting because Liam Lawson drove past and he's like, oh, my God, is he all right? He's probably thinking, oh, is he injured?
Yeah, it's doing a Colapinto.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Colapinto. I mean, on that, he had a massive off as well.
Yeah.
That's the thing. He got told in the media by Flavio Briatore, he's like, just notorious. Don't crash.
Yeah.
Just don't crash. And then the first qualifying session, he comes out and crashes the car.
Hard debut.
Dude, he's been given a 5-race contract.
Bro, what is going on?
That's
man?
Just, it's too much pressure.
Yeah.
Like, you saw him at the start of the race. He's so tentative because he's like, he's so scared of I mean, obviously he's scared of crashing the car again, but I mean, he's just got, there's no, you know, it's the same thing with Jack Doohan. They put Colo Pinto as a reserve driver because they think in their mind, oh, it's going to put pressure on the driver and he's going to perform better. It doesn't work like that these days.
It's like business, man. No one performs walking on eggshells. Yeah. It's like sport, it's business, it's the exact same thing.
It's like such an old like notion thing to do. Like,
it's an old school mentality. Yeah, it doesn't work like that.
Like, there's a new age of...
Look at McLaren.
Yeah.
It's a complete opposite.
Yeah, complete opposite. And we... like, with a new age, we know more about mental health and how the brain reacts and all that kind
of
stuff.
The psychology of sport.
100%. And for him to be going, you're in, but you got a 5-race contract, don't crash the car, in the media, Flavio said this, it's too much pressure. Like,
And then you've kind of got Red Bull, which is a little bit like that.
Yeah.
And they're very successful.
Yes, yes.
But you've also got like a once-in-a-generation driver.
Yeah, I mean, a Red Bull weren't like cutthroat like that when it was Vettel and Webber era.
Yeah.
Not true. As like they were...
not after, cutting drivers.
Correct. That happened after, and then they were lucky enough to come across a generational talent, Max Verstappen, and no one else has been able to do anything with that car.
Riddle me this then. So... Colo Pinto has 5 stinkers.
Yeah.
Worse than Doohan. And they go, okay, you're not racing anymore. Mm. Who do they put in next?
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, they put Jack Doohan back in. But then there's no
bro, like this is it's laughable.
It is. You just gotta stick with the kid and let him have the year. I mean,
laughable.
Bro, Alpine in general.
Has it always been a shambles?
Bro, think of this. Yes, it has. They've had what, 5 or 6
French, bro, I'm telling you.
It is. 5 or 6 team principals in the last, I think, 3 years, 4 years, whatever. Flavio has come back in. Again, he's also done that. He's come back and overseen everything. So then he's putting pressure on the personnel. It's just, it's that whole mentality of doing this. He's come in. He's not allowed to be a team principal. He hasn't got the license to be a team principal. So they've put some dummy guy in there just to act in front of the media, but it's Flavio controlling that team.
So Flavio is like the deep state, and the team principal is like Joe Biden.
Correct. R.I.P. So Flavio is looking over these guys, but he's controlling the whole team. Alpine next year are going to Mercedes engines. Alpine's a manufacturer. Moreno is a massive car brand. Yeah, yeah. Why are you putting a customer engine in the car? Like, I just don't understand the whole... I don't understand the whole aspect of the team. Ollie Oakes has left. There's rumours circling. He had affiliation with obviously High Tech, which is an F2 and F3 team, which used to be owned by Mazepin's dad.
Yeah, Nikita Mazepin.
And he's not obviously not allowed to be in the sport anymore. But apparently there's money filtering back to him somehow. Rumours at this stage. Nothing's been confirmed.
Alleged.
They're saying he fled to Dubai, but he was actually in England. So
you can say whatever you want. Just say allegedly at the start of the sentence.
Exactly right. Yeah, allegedly. Yeah, I'm paraphrasing. So that's happening in the scheme of things. Pierre Gasly is one of the most talented drivers on the grid and just been stuck in the middle of this.
He's been doing all right, Gasly.
But in saying that, Flavio Briatore is a unbelievable team principal. And what he did with Renault back in 02 and 03 and then... obviously winning the championships in 05 and 06 was incredible. He's got a lot of respect in the paddock.
That's also 20 years ago, bro.
Oh, yeah, true, 100%. But he's got a lot of respect in the paddock from high-ranking, you know, Fernando Alonso's. And it was funny, Campagnotti was in the Alpine with Flavio for the race. I don't know if you saw that.
No.
Big dog Campagnotti.
Oh, was he? Paolo?
Yeah, Paolo.
I'm like, who's Campagnotti? Yeah, gotcha.
So you got big like Primark Campagnotti with a big chain and Flavio. Imagine being out for dinner with those guys.
How many bottles of red do you reckon they're going through?
Geez, it'd be expensive and it'd be a big night. But the big
dogs.
Like
that's like Clash of the Titans.
Oh,
right
yeah. The big dogs. Like the big ego dogs. The big dogs. They're just like, yeah.
My mind is like, I love a Paolo Campagnotti though, bro. No. And he's my boy.
And the back of my mind, like Flavio Briatore, he's done so many bad things with that Crashgate scandal with Nelson Piquet, et cetera, but I kind of like having him around. Like,
bro, you need to have need those him. Characters. Yeah.
He's
wearing his fucking puss.
He's got his sunglasses. The guy dated like Heidi Klum.
Bro.
He dated like all these hot models.
If he wasn't in F1, he'd be like a sleazy used car salesman.
Well, I think that's where he started.
Bro, there we go.
Yeah. Yeah, he started.
So he's Tom Shavulak.
He started at Benetton and then worked his way. He worked his way up in the company, and then he became team principal of Renault when it changed from Benetton. It's crazy. So
you do right. You need to have those people because it's old school personality as well.
Yeah. I mean, there's rumors that Christian Horner's getting in the ass and all this stuff, and
the fuck's
you
with
just
that?
Need. I don't know. There's some things like they think change is always good, but you need. I don't know.
Is it me or Formula One just have zero stability at the moment?
Yeah,
it's a rock and
there's
boat.
There's so much money, I think, in stake here now.
Yeah,
like there is so much money. Like it's one of the richest sports in the world, and they're bringing in this. There's new TV deals, and there's new this, and there's new that, and then they just wanted their. And that's probably why Alpine are going, well, you know, instead of spending $100 million on an engine project, I'm just going to buy a Mercedes engine, put it in, and hopefully be up the grid, and then I can, you know, I can advertise my brand that way.
It doesn't really matter, I don't think, these days.
It's a weird one. I mean, like,
I don't think, bro, I don't think that's going to hurt selling Renaults.
No.
I really don't. It's like, remember when Lotus sponsored an F1 car, but it wasn't a Lotus.
Well, Alfa Romeo did that with Sauber.
Yeah,
it wasn't. It wasn't Alfa Romeo brand. It was just branded Alfa Romeo. Which is a very smart thing to do.
Yeah.
So, BMW Sauber did that early years as well.
But I always just thought it was a BMW.
Well,
when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I just thought that was BMW
in. Yeah, but it was Sauber. They were using BMW engines.
Oh, there you go. That's something.
But
though.
Yeah, so they were using BMW engines, but maybe they were even using Cosworths at the end, which is a Ford branded engine. I mean, they were BMW.
Danby would know that.
Yeah,
he'd
that's
be yelling
a Danby
at us
question.
Right now.
That's a Danby question. But
you idiot.
Yeah, you idiot. Yeah. We should have, you need to be listening live and ring in. That's what he needs to do. Curtis should be fact checking, but that's fine. That's what he's here for, but that's fine. Thanks, Curtis.
This is where we need, who wants to be a millionaire? You got to phone a friend.
We got on a tangent here. But yeah, Flavio, big dog. It's good to see him. Cambinotti, those sort of characters.
Bro, I
and
love
even
it.
The back of the paddock, bro. Like, how sick is it seeing big bloody Palos around and big dog bloody. Bloody Dominicale, they're big dogs, you know.
Yeah, you love the WOG big dogs.
Yeah, the workers of Greece. Ferrari, I think what a race by them after, you know, failing into Q2. I think that's gonna be a big big step for them going forward because it's been a really rough few weeks for them. So you got anything for me?
MotoGP, my bro. We haven't talked about MotoGP really at all.
It's
been a massive few weeks. You missed probably one of the most exciting races in the past 10
years.
Well,
I didn't miss it. I missed the pod. Yeah. And 480p as well. You get the 480p.
You're not jerking off to 480p and watching MotoGP.
Nah, I'm on my MP4 player back in fucking 06. That's what it was like, bro.
Trish Stratus,
yeah. God, the OGs will know that at home.
They will know that. Actually, if you know that, please message us.
LimeWire, downloading on LimeWire to the MP4 player, then converting the file after downloading it. Jesus, that was tough back then.
And you would have given Chris about 10 different viruses on the home computer.
Me and my old man, we're not talking about Trish Stratus with my old man, but me and my old man talking about that. Like, we did some crazy shit downloading crap back then.
Yeah.
Like, we're on,
what was your old man downloading?
Oh, bro, I don't know.
Dirty dog.
We're on uTorrent downloading onto views and then views converting
to
it was crazy times back then because you couldn't get Netflix. Like, there was no such thing as like that. And then, like, this came along and you're like, fuck, I can watch anything I want.
Yeah.
And we downloaded so much crap. You couldn't do it now because it just gets, I think it shut down so quickly.
I remember downloading, all the new Simpsons episodes and Family Guy. It was wild. But now it's all on Netflix and I'm like, there's nothing to watch. And it's all there.
Yeah, I know. It's oversaturation.
It is.
Like when
it's a real thing.
To Japan, it's so hard to find a restaurant to go out to. Because there's 400,000 restaurants in Tokyo.
I was only going to say because there's a woman with you. It's always so much harder with a chick.
It is harder. But it's just too much choice. And that's the thing. So, MotoGP,
Bro, France.
Oh, it was just crazy. I mean, Fabio for me, that lap was just outstanding. Yeah. And I'm, you know, you've got to have him right up the top talking about most talented riders on the grid.
Easy. Top three.
Yeah, because he, to pull that out of the bag was it's unbelievable. Two weekends in a row, he's had an amazing qualifying session. So, I touched on last week as well in the phone call, like how jealous I am of that patriotism that the French and the Italians have.
Yeah.
Because the fucking, you know, that rawness, that, you know, the national anthem. I mean, mm. that national anthem last night at the F1s with the five opera singers.
Yeah.
And everyone standing in the crowd, hand on chest, same in France. And Jimmy, let's talk protection, because what you wear actually matters in a crash. Nemium armored leggings have a 3-star impact protection, 4-star comfort, and the thinnest CE level 2 armor available. More protection, less bulk.
Tommy, one of the many reasons I love this product is because of the comfort. You can wear these Nemium leggings underneath like your jeans, your normal chino pants, mate. When I'm riding, I don't want to be dressed up like a stiff motorcycle rider wearing leather everywhere. I want to be wearing my normal jeans, getting a coffee, whatever, looking cool. I love how these leggings just go under everything seamlessly and you just fit in with the normal crowd.
I mean, there's no overheating, there's no stiffness. And look, we really believe in this product.
Yep.
It's MotoCap tested. It's proven to have a 5.42 second slide time. These things are very, very hard to get in this industry. Serious riders wear Nemium. Upgrade your ride at Nemium.clothing.
I love it. And use code NEMIUNREPUBLICA for 10% off.
Now back to the podcast.
So the French is from a... it's because it's not like a God Save the King.
Yeah, okay.
It's for the French people. That's why they get around the national anthem.
It's for the people. Yeah.
So that's...
Yeah.
Yep.
Part of like a revolution or something.
Who knows?
Something like that.
Yeah, who knows?
The Brisbane Lions theme song.
Famously.
Yeah. Well, that's true. I mean, yeah, God Save the Queen is about the royals. Yeah. And then Australia is just fucked. I mean, no one celebrates anything anymore. It sucks.
No. So we do.
We do here at Motorsport Republica.
But the French definitely get around it. And bro, I don't know if you saw this footage. Some dude in Le Mans won like a KTM Duke thing.
Yeah.
Bro, he started crying. It was like in front of the grandstand on the main straight. Started crying. And then the whole grandstand was like chanting like these soccer chants for this guy. He's like crying, accepting this KTM Duke. Bro, if that was Australia, they'd be throwing beer bottles at him like tall poppy syndrome. It was wild.
Yeah, it's right.
It'd be laughed at.
Bro, it's like when Danby... it always falls back to him, that fella. He won the V4. And bro, I remember seeing the footage of that. The winner got called out, and then they had to ring his phone. The phone rang, and then you look up at everyone's like, oh. No one's happy for him at all.
No
way. Like this.
Yeah.
You know, like,
but that's also MSR. They're literally retarded. Aren't they? They're literally retarded. Like,
yeah,
you can't please that.
The MSR are a plague on the motorcycle industry.
Yeah. Yeah. It's basically people that wear, for our listeners overseas, it's people who wear like furry helmets and shit.
Yeah, like Pokemon helmet covers on their helmet. Yeah. And like, yeah, anyway.
It's like you can't blame anyone but MSR for that one.
Definitely not. Bro, and Pecco, he's done. He can't come back from this. It's too
50
many
points, bro.
It's done. It's done. So move on to next year. They better build. The thing is, for next year, they're all going back to, you know, they're gonna be going all to this 26 bike. But for him, nothing much is gonna change, I don't think, because he doesn't like this 25 bike. Nah. And then apparently this Jet 26 generation, nothing's gonna change much because you got all the new regs in 27. Yeah. So,
and it's already a good bike.
So we're in a Marquez. Marquez era right now, and so.
I had Pedrosa was actually talking interesting stuff about this, and I'll try and paraphrase it a bit, but he's basically saying it's a psychological aspect and a media aspect, that there's so much pressure on Bagnaia through the media, because it's like, well, Bagnaia is Ducati's man. He was the man, like, to take him to the promised land, lead these projects, and now as a psychological aspect, it's like, it's all Marc Marquez. He's making the bike work.
Yep.
He isn't. And that's obviously taking a toll. Like, and it's, as it says here, like Marc Marquez, this is what Pedrosa says, is Marc Marquez can ride fast on any setup. P Pecco Bagnaia needs a bike that's tailor-made for him. And then, like, are they going to start pushing bikes now towards Marquez, which is a scary thing anyway, but it's just, it's
But who's their challenger?
In, as in manufacturer?
Yeah.
Bro, that's a great question because I don't know.
Like, is
I don't think there's any challenger because Aprilia's fumbled it. KTM's, who knows if Maverick Vinales, like, there's no clear-cut decision with them what's happening. Yamaha and Honda are making improvements, but no one's near Ducati.
And, like, if I'm head office Ducati and they're saying, oh, we need another $10 million to develop a 26 bike, why? You're going to win anyway.
Yeah.
You got a 27 coming up. It's whole new regs. You concentrate on that. The bike's not going to change much at all.
Nah, it's not.
And I know this. It's the biggest brand in the motorcycle industry now, arguably, in the sports bike industry. But where's the motivation going to be to spend more money on a 26 bike to make it better for Bagnaia when Marquez is just going to come out and dominate again? So nothing's going to change.
Yeah, I know. I can't see anything. Like, Silverstone's going to be... every race is super interesting, but my biggest thing now is how I'm so interested to see how Pecco Bagnaia bounces back. Because we spoke about this with Adrian and put up a clip today about... Bagnaia never seems to be out of it, though. Whenever he's backing up against the wall, he can always kind of fight back. So it's just going to be interesting to see and how he does it. But
yeah, but now... Martin's a different beast than Marquez, isn't he?
Yeah, so different. Or when Bagnaia clawed back 90 points, whatever it was, with Quartararo, remember?
Yeah,
He was on a Yamaha.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So on Martin, like, I dropped that news on you boys like an atomic bomb. Pardon the pun.
Wow. I thought you were talking shit at the start. I'm like, what is this guy talking about? Yeah. Like, this fucking...
Bro, I'm telling you, I'm not Dave Shaw. I'm not reading Raciano Dadiano from Don Dutchland, a news that pops up on his Facebook. Yeah. If Autosport pop up and break the news, I'm like, I'm listening.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, had to drop it. Massive news. And
what do you think? What do you think of all this?
Oh, I don't know. Like, the only thing that I can think of is Honda has come to him with a massive offer.
Well, do you think Honda's come to him or he's just... Because what I'm reading out of this is he wants out. He sees the project going nowhere.
How can he want out when he hasn't done a lap on the bike?
Bro, but what doesn't make sense is Aleix Espargaró is the factor of why he's at Aprilia, right?
Yes.
Because he was there. And now he's gone to Honda, and then all of a sudden he's matched with Honda.
Well, yeah, he might be in Martin's ear and going, "Man, this they got a fucking."
But how can you do that? Like, he's Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then it's obviously this.
But that's he says.
Yeah, it's called conjecture.
Conjecture, like, we don't know that for a fact.
But it's just a weird coincidence.
It is definitely, and then like, and that's where it became a bit of a, like, that's, you're 100% right. That's why he signed for Aprilia.
Yeah.
100%. If Aleix Espargaró wasn't there and wasn't retiring, it wouldn't have happened like that.
They're best mates.
Yeah, best mates.
So it just doesn't make sense to me. Bro, he's done like 13 laps of testing and then he got injured and now he wants out through this Le Mans, clause or whatever.
Yep.
But like, is he just not gelling with, like, I don't know. Is it a team thing? Is it,
but he's seen these results? It has to be the truth now because we were a week later and they haven't denied the rumors.
Nah, it's definitely the truth. Like, it's definitely out there.
Mm.
But what does it, like, does it mean?
How,
like,
does, I just don't know what leaked? It means. How does it get leaked so easily? Like, he's in a meeting with Aprilia, which I'm going to say up to 5-10 people max. Why are these Aprilia guys going out and telling everyone? Why would Martin go out and tell everyone?
I don't know. They just do. Well, maybe Martin wants it out there to put pressure on Aprilia or who knows. But the paddock's so small. They all talk,
I know. And then the news breaks within... Like, the race is on Sunday night and then the news breaks Monday.
Yeah. It always works like that, though.
It always breaks when we have the pods on.
Yeah.
But
it just seems dumb. Like, the whole thing seems dumb. And then going to Honda, I just...
Yeah, it just sucks, man, because he's in the prime of his career, this guy, and
it just seems
he's won the world championship,
yeah,
and now he's going to this manufacturer, which would be a dream to see them up the top, and now it's all gone pear-shaped.
It's like knee-jerk reaction, though.
Standard. Bloody... it's just standard, isn't it, with these in the motorcycle... in the motorsport industry, there's just knee-jerk reactions like this.
And, like, Honda, no one wanted to look at 6 months ago, and now you got... Everyone raving about it. They've just won a race. You've got the reigning world champion wanting to go on it. Like, it just... It all just seems too funky.
It does.
I don't understand it at all. And like, oh, you know, okay, Honda's getting better, but bro, you think you would have... Is it a money thing? So like, I was talking about this today.
Yeah.
He's getting paid 2 mil in Aprilia.
Only 2 mil?
Yeah, 2 or 3 mil euro.
Yeah.
Bags is getting like 6 and Quartararo and Marquez are getting like 12.
Yeah.
You know, so that's a massive
amount.
Well,
that's where I came from the start. I'm thinking he's been offered something huge from Honda. He would have had to get an offer to break this news to Aprilia.
Yeah.
He has to. Like,
but then it's like...
Because what happens if he goes, breaks his new Aprilia, Aprilia go, get fucked, you're out, and then he's got no ride?
Well, Aprilia is, again, all allegedly... It's like they want to... They're going to fight this.
Yeah.
Because they want him, obviously.
It's messy, man.
It's so messy, bro. It's like a bad breakup.
Oh, yeah.
But like, then you're the reigning world champion in your prime. Do you really want to be going to Honda?
Yeah. The rumor mill is they've gone. Honda went for Acosta, and Acosta said no. And then that's now they're going for Martin. That's the rumor. Acosta goes, I want to be on a Ducati or nothing. So, and I think he's right. You have to be on the fastest bike. I mean, you know, the Ducati is just so much better than everything else. If an Aldeguer is up in the top four every race, you know, it's the bike. You know, I mean, obviously he's got talent, but. You know, he's not going to be in the top five if he's on an Aprilia, is he?
It's so, just like Aprilia...
Which is a stupid statement, of course not. But like, you know what I'm trying to say.
Aprilia and KTM have fumbled the ball so hard. And it's not their fault to a degree. It's... I had to burp. That was holding it in. KTM, you've got such amazing talent. And then they have this GFC, global financial crisis of KTM on them. And then it just the whole thing just turns to shit.
Yeah.
And then you've got... Bez, who's the ultimate fraud watch, but I'd say Bez. You got the reigning world champion, Jorge Martin. You got a gun rookie, and Raul Fernandez. But like, bang, you've got these two manufacturers that can take it to Ducati, and then obviously Martin crashes, all this other stuff happens, and it's just like they've both just fumbled the ball.
But it just shows you how hard it is to get to the front.
Yeah.
I mean, Ducati, it took them a lot of
forever.
Years.
Forever. Yeah, and everyone forgets that, we know. But it just doesn't...
Yeah.
I had a question for you that I've had to wait a week or two for. How did I fucking write this? I was drunk when I wrote this.
Unlikely.
Tom, would you change the riders right now in the Ducati teams, and who would you change? So would you kick out like an Aldeguer for an Acosta? Would you kick out a Bagnaia for a Martin or something like that? You know what I mean?
No, I don't think so. I think everyone's there on merit. I think both the VR46 boys are there because they're Italian and the La Familia and the VR46 cult that goes on, which, you know, he built that team. He's allowed to do that. It's the same with Idemitsu with the Japanese / token Japanese Thai rider.
I didn't even get a Japanese rider.
You couldn't even get a Japanese rider. Look, I mean, I think I'd love to see Acosta in a Ducati, but for me, man, like Aldeguer is exciting. Alex Marquez is doing a phenomenal job, and then yeah, Bags and Marquez deserve that seat, obviously.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there's rumors circling about KTM for next year if they're going to be on the grid. So I mean, they're going to have to then go, well, we're going to have to put a fourth Ducati team back on the grid. Like, is it going to be a Tech 3 Ducati? Like, is it will be Tech 3? You know, that sort of thing. So who knows what's going to happen coming to the end of the year. What do you think? Obviously, you want to see Acosta and a Ducati.
I'd love to see Acosta and a Ducati. I reckon I'd boot Morbidelli, but...
Yeah.
I'd boot Morbidelli for Acosta, and I think they would almost do that.
I'd love to see Quartararo on a Ducati. Yeah, I mean, that's just... I mean, that would be a dream to see Bagnaia, Quartararo, Marquez going for it every weekend.
Yeah.
Because realistically, we go into a weekend, who's winning? It's going to be Bags or it's going to be Marquez. Yeah, Alex might have a chance. Yeah, Zarco, unbelievable win. Yeah. Like, it's never going to happen like that ever again. I mean, that was crazy. But essentially, it's those two who are going to win the race. And if Marquez doesn't, Bags usually does. But obviously, in Jerez, it was different. Amazing from Alex Marquez. But I don't know where I was going with that. But yeah.
Just move in your mouth.
Yeah.
You know, another note that I wrote down is I think MotoGP is slowly blowing up like Formula One. I'm seeing more and more teeny MotoGP content, especially from the States.
That's awesome. I think it... and I was thinking about this last night in Australia. Dude, 10:45 that race finishes in MotoGP. Yeah. You go to bed. Yeah. It's perfect.
Yeah.
1:45 in the morning is an F1 race finishes. Big difference.
Well, last night for us was 12:30.
Oh, sorry. 12:45, usually you get to bed. Sorry, 12:45. Massive difference.
Yeah.
Difference between getting up Monday morning fresh or you're tired for a couple of days. Like, for me, and the racing is so spectacular, and it's 45 minutes of just awesome racing. I'll always be a massive Formula One fan, but sometimes I'm like, I love when the MotoGP's on because I know I'm going to get, I don't know, it sounds crazy, but I know I'm just going to get to sleep. And it's going to be an easy... And it makes a massive difference. And that's why...
That's tailored directly for Australians right there.
Yeah, exactly. But like there's a reason why IndyCar or NASCAR is not huge in Australia is because the races are on at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
So it's a different kettle of fish. Every weekend, the race is on at 3 a.m. You have to be a ballistic fan to get up at 3 a.m. to watch the race. Where... a MotoGP fan can watch it as a normal Sunday night activity.
Yeah.
It makes a massive difference.
Yeah. It's just interesting, like, seeing all these... it's just... And, like, they're talking about... like, they're kind of explaining the sport. I've been watching a few of them. And, like, you know, who's the legends are and, you know, who's racing now and what and how it's different. And they're comparing it to Formula One. That's, like, a lot of the videos is comparing it to Formula One. So, it's just interesting. I reckon in 5 years, it is going to be huge.
Good. Yeah, I think
that's
so
what
too.
I think so. It's on that slow burn now.
It's going to pop. It really is. Hopefully, they nail these 27 regs and it's not, doesn't, you know, turn into a one, you know, one team formula like it is at the moment.
And
I think that's going to be a big thing as
And I think Moto3, Moto2 are going to be superstars as well.
Yeah.
I don't think it's just going to be MotoGP because I know Furman had a lot of fans going through.
Yeah. And realistically, you need like fucking just like, and this sounds strange, but just good looking young kids coming through. All the chicks love him. And then that grows the sport because the female audience always is going to grow the sport because then, you know, they can easily then convince their boyfriend to start watching it, that sort of thing. It grows from there. So I think that's what's happened at Formula One. I mean, it's just imploded with the female audience and then it's imploded everywhere
else. Well, I was speaking to a chick yesterday about Formula One and I was like, oh, do you... She doesn't really watch it. But I'm like, do you see a lot of it? And she goes, it's everywhere. Like, every girl watches it.
Yeah.
It's huge.
And
it's almost more of a female sport in Australia. Don't you reckon? I reckon we're outnumbered.
Dude, I remember going to school and like high school and going like I had two mates who like watched it and we talked about it. If I said to a chick, "Oh, the Formula," she go, "Why that? What are you talking about? Yeah. Like Formula One racing? Like that was
what even is that?
What even is that? Is that V8 supercars? Like they wouldn't have a clue.
Wouldn't have a clue.
It's just unbelievable. Like it's that one documentary, Drive to Survive. You put that on a platform. And it just blows up. Like I was saying, was I saying this to you today? Mel was watching a TV show on Netflix, Desperate Housewives of bloody something. They're all multi-millionaires, billionaires. They all drive Kia Sorentos. Kia Sorento in the States has gone up 150% sales.
Because they're
watching this show.
Do they sponsor the show or something?
They just all drive them. They just love them. So they're like, what the hell? All these rich mums are driving Kia Sorento. I want a Kia Sorento.
Yeah.
It's marketing. And that's what all Drive to Survive is, marketing for the sport.
Are you getting the Kia Sorento now?
Well, she wants one. That's crazy, isn't it? Like they're like the girl walks down, like Kylie Jenner walks down the street with a handbag. It goes, everyone wants to buy it. And it's the same thing. Everyone watched Drive to Survive, they want to watch it.
Why the fuck can't we walk down the street with our Republica t-shirt and everyone wants to buy it? Seriously.
One day, mate.
It's just all... Anyway, going back to my point, I think MotoGP is just on the... It's on the trajectory to just blow up.
And the American market is the key. There's 300 Americans. And that's been a massive... I mean, the massive thing. I mean, it's it's been such a success in Australia.
Bro, yeah. It's like 400,000 people, whatever, goes through those gates.
Bro, Silverstone, F1, the tickets are apparently sold out. Like,
yeah.
And they reckon they might get 500,000.
What do they get at COTA?
Oh, I think three. I think it's probably the third most attended race.
Curdy.
Fact checker over there.
Hey, Curdy. Drinking the white monster. As Theo Von says, ready to hit your wife. Can you look up the attendance for COTA Formula One, please, in 2024? Go on, get, boy.
We'll continue on while he does that. But yeah, going back to MotoGP, Jack Miller, rewatching it, such a disappointment. He had it.
Bro, he had the win.
He had it.
I know.
He had it. So, yeah, you can't blame anyone but yourself.
Is he going to start feeling the pinch soon?
I don't think so. I mean, Alex Rins doing absolutely nothing. And, I mean, yeah, no, I don't
Oliveira's think... Oliveira has been injured. He never feels a pinch, and Miller does, I think unfairly.
Yeah, well, that's the difference between Australians and the Portuguese or the Europeans.
I was like, where's he going with the Portuguese?
Yeah, well, the Europeans always have favours in
sponsors
the pay.
And shit.
Yeah.
So it's just... I don't know. I think he is, and I think... He's going to have to pull some results soon because I just know how this sport works, fairly or unfairly.
You think our bottles would keep the water cold? Actually, gone warm in there somehow.
Well, bro, how much did these cost you? $1.20?
Well, I thought we'd get our new logo happening on them, but yeah, that's my contribution. Curdy, how you going over there, mate?
What do we got?
Still trying to find the button there. Give me a button, mate. He likes me on the whole time. Hilarious.
Oh, that's funny.
Let's get into... you got anything more on MotoGP?
No, that's not really it. But Silverstone this weekend. Yeah. Is it going to rain?
Well, it has to, doesn't it? It has to.
It's going to be Ducati track.
Mm.
I think Marquez is going to go Juan.
Ducati track, you reckon?
Yeah, it's fast. You top know what? Speed.
Yeah, true. Yeah, you're right. But some flying corners.
Marquez is going to destroy, I think.
Okay. Now, I'm feeling a surprise result.
Well, bro, we just had one.
Yeah, I know. I'm thinking another one.
What are you thinking?
I don't know.
Give me a little hint.
I got a feeling a Quartararo is going to be up there.
On the Yamaha?
Yeah.
On that big back straight.
Yeah, I know. It's long and it's wide, isn't it?
Yeah.
it's like my dick.
That's, yeah. Get Mel on the pod.
So for 2024, COTA had 131,881 spectators.
That's for race day.
What about over the weekend?
Whole attendance?
Yeah. What do we got?
No, that's a 3-day attendance of 131,000.
That 130, that cannot be right, Curdy.
MotoGP or Formula One, Curdy?
Grand Prix of America. That's 2024 MotoGP Grand Prix of America.
Did that?
We said F1.
F1.
Oh, F1. Oh,
well, 130 is deplorable, actually. That's disgusting.
Bro, that's only 50,000 more than PI.
Yeah, that's bad. Because it's a dedicated, massive circuit. I mean, I know Formula... I mean, Phillip Island is as well, but... Yeah.
Okay, so Sunday alone for Formula One, it was 150,000. But the whole weekend was over 440,000.
Okay, that's
Yeah, they're
more
third
sense.
Most attendant. Yeah, thanks, Curtis.
All
he gives us a backhand as well. So yeah, it's Silverstone, it's Australia, and then it's COTA is the top three attended ones.
Yeah, wild.
Which is fair enough for, I reckon, Silverstone and COTA dedicated circuits. That's how amazing Australia is.
That's just the Netflix viewers right there in the three countries that watch it, countries that watch it.
So they had more people at F1 on the Sunday than they did for MotoGP across the whole weekend.
Bro.
That's wild.
Wild.
So yeah, that's where the market will be for them because, interestingly, we were talking to the one of the chief editors at Fox Sports, and I said to him in Thailand, we were with Renee, and I said, "What's the viewership between F1 and MotoGP?" He said, "It's about half." So I was interested in that. So
that's right, he did too.
So yeah, I mean, like if 500,000 people are watching F1, 250,000 are watching MotoGP, which is super impressive.
Yeah.
I didn't think it would be that. I thought it'd be like 1/10.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So there's still the people watching it. Definitely not the workplace. You don't talk about MotoGP. I don't. Like, I know you would, yeah, obviously work different. In the motorcycle industry, but everyone's, oh my God, you see Piastri get fucked by the, you know, this morning. Yeah, yeah. Everyone's talking about it. I've got people messaging me from all walks of life. Oh, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? But it's all F1, where MotoGP is more of that niche market, isn't it? So,
Yeah, it's a good point. Back to Silverstone though, yes. Like, I think it's going to be, as I said, it's going to be a Marquez domination. Yep. It's going to be a Ducati track. And would you rather wet or would you rather dry? Because it always rains there.
Yeah, I think it's funny with MotoGP. It's not, I mean, it was exciting. That's two races we've had this year that it's, you know, been iffy at the start with weather.
Yeah, true.
Very rare that happens.
Very. Sometimes you have seasons where it's dry. The only one you kind of get is Silverstone or Phillip Island, funny enough.
So, yeah, for me, it doesn't matter. It's going to be exciting either way. But I think a really hot, dry race would be good to see.
I think I want to see that as well. This is hard of the pumps.
Now, I wanted to touch on Le Mans 24 Hour coming up.
Oh, when's that?
June 13th, roughly.
What are we doing for that? Oh, we'll staying up all night. I can't look at espresso martinis, actually. Ugh, I feel sick.
Yeah, they are.
Anzac Day, we had three in about 3 minutes and I vomited everywhere.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's... I had a Tom Shabby, like, record amount of pints of beer that day. 6 liters. Oh, it's ridiculous. Disgustingly ridiculous. I'm actually off the piss a little bit until Friday.
And then you sound like my old man.
Is that what he said?
I don't know, maybe.
All right, so the talk about a sport that is in a great era at the moment is endurance racing.
Bro, imagine saying that 10, 15 years ago.
We had, yeah, exactly. Well, Toyota was the only LMP1 class car at one point.
It was fucked up, man.
Yeah. So they released the entry list, and this is just unbelievable. I'll just run through some of the names. Talk Aston Martin are debuting their Valkyrie.
And this is in the hypercar class?
This is in the hypercar class. There are like 20 cars.
Wow.
It is unbelievable. So you're going to have Aston Martin with two Valkyries, which is just an unbelievably cool looking car.
Yeah.
And the great thing what they've done with this hypercar category is they're still based on a certain road car element, which is a really cool thing. They're prototypes, obviously, but these things are like a Valkyrie. It's like the top of the chain with a Aston Martin. And I don't know if these things are available to purchase. I'm not 100% sure, but... it's super cool. Porsche running three factory Porsche with Penske. So Penske Motorsport.
Yep, yep, yep.
Toyota.
Yep.
You got Cadillac.
Yep.
You got BMW.
That's cool.
You got Alpine. You've got another Cadillac. You got Ferrari in the hypercars, which they obviously they won going so last well. Year, three Ferraris. Peugeot.
Yeah.
You've got Proton Competition, which is running a Porsche, and another two Cadillac teams. So
it's awesome.
It's amazing.
No Audi after all that. Isn't that funny?
Yeah, no, it is crazy, isn't it? Well, I think Porsche and Audi, obviously.
I guess so, yeah.
Are they owned by the same company? I'm not 100% sure. But you've got some a lot of ex. You've got Kevin Magnussen. You got Sebastian Buemi.
Giancarlo Fisichella.
My personal favorite, Felipe Albuquerque. Earl Bamber.
I was about to say, is Earl Bamber racing? Jewel of the South.
Jewel of the South. Michael Christensen, obviously. Kamui Kobayashi.
Oh, he's still going.
Brendan Hartley.
Wow.
Sebastian Bourdais.
He's still going as well.
Yeah, Robert Kubica. I mean, Jenson Button, Mick Schumacher, Nick De Vries.
Bro, that's a stacked field.
Pascal Wernher. These are all ex-Formula 1 drivers. Then you got LMP2 class, which is, they all run the same chassis and same engine. You got another probably 20.
What's the difference in car then?
Nah, they're all identical car, pretty much. So it's similar to, like, I suppose, IndyCar, where they all run the same chassis and engine.
Just a different car.
They've got two different engines.
Is it like the older versions or something?
Well, they're just, I think, just, it is, like, they're all just got the same. Like, it's like Moto 2.
Oh, but what's the difference between an LMP2 and an LMP1?
Oh, sorry. Usually they don't run a hybrid system, and they're slower, you know.
Yeah, gotcha. Sorry.
And then you've got your LMP GT3 teams, which you've got your Aston Martins, your Corvettes, your Ferraris, and So yeah, it's gonna be
bro, it's always such a good race to watch.
Yeah, it's gonna be, and it's just got so exciting over the last few years. Yep. And I think the influx of money after COVID really helped this.
Formula One's probably helping it as well, to a degree.
Yeah. So it's interesting. I mean, I think a lot of people, for some reason, you know, went out and bought all these expensive things post COVID, and everyone treated themselves, and all these manufacturers who make luxury cars got so rich. So they're all renting motorsport again. That's bro, my theory anyway.
Bro, how good is it going to be? How good would it be being there?
Yeah, we're going to do that one day.
That'll be a good vlog.
There's an end of May, June section, which is incredible. It's we did it. Remember we had that? We got actually a travel agent. You fly in, you do Monaco, you do
Mugello,
and you do the 24-hour Le Mans.
Mm. And then you can almost sneak across and do the Isle of Man.
Yeah. Yep. And then, so James and I, when we were like probably 25, we went to a travel agent.
Bro, 25, 21, 22, 23.
We went to a travel agent, so we want to go here, and they put it all together, and it was like going to be, I don't know, 30 grand each or something. And then we, unfortunately, our girlfriends didn't let us go, and we had to go with them to America. But
Should have done it. Should have done it.
But anyway,
if we're going to do it, it'll be heaps better now.
Exactly,
anyway.
We'll do it right. Yeah, because we're all bunking in like, there was some crazy things, bunking, busing, all this stuff.
It'll be heaps better now. We'll do it properly.
Yeah.
But that'll be cool.
Yeah, 100%.
Le Mans 20. There's a couple of our listeners are gone to Le Mans 20.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Yeah. Well, send us some footage. I mean, that's, send it through. So, the
French will go crazy.
Yeah, I love that event. And
we've been watching it for years. Oh, you got me into it.
We've been watching it like since
for high school.
High school, it's funny these sporting events that we both love. I mean, even the Tour de France. Yeah,
it's all in the same type of
Winter time. This gets me through winter.
Yeah, the footy, the GP, the F1, Tour de France.
It's a really cool time. May, June, July. It has all these things in it. July always has the cycling, which is I just love having something on every night to watch as well. That's always cool.
Yeah, that is the greatest. All right, what's coming up now, T-Shavs?
World famous hot takes.
Well, Adrian couldn't believe how many. He's like, I thought you were talking shit when you were saying you had thousands in. He's like, and then he's like, saw all the hot takes, and he's like, Jesus.
Yeah. Get involved, mate.
At BHS.47 hot take, Pecco won't win another MotoGP championship.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's look, I mean,
God, it's harsh. It's been like five races.
But we talked about this a year ago, and when we were asked this question, it was a hot take, and they said, Does Marquez not being fit the last 2 years diminish Bagnaia's two championships? I think yes. Because yes, he was the fastest rider for those 2 years, but you had the actual fastest rider injured.
Yeah.
So look, in the history books in 20, 30 years time, they're not going to think about that. But this day and age, you got this guy is a phenomenal rider, obviously, Marquez. Phenomenal, as Tardozzi said when he was falling off the bike. So yeah, I mean, it's hard. I don't think if Marquez stays fit and he's on a similar machine, he's not beating Bag. He's not getting beaten by Bags.
No, I don't think so either. Just depends on how long he wants to do it for. At Nikki D 3604, who in the MotoGP paddock will go to World Superbikes if Toprak moves to GP? I'll answer this. I think it'll be Jack Miller.
Jack Miller, yeah.
And apparently, some strong interest out of Honda for him.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Very strong interest because he's obviously helped develop bikes. They want like a team player. They want someone to help develop this Honda. They might throw a boatload of money at him. Wouldn't be for a financial purpose, it might not be a stupid move.
Yeah, I think
I can see him in the World Superbike paddock.
I think if you've got a family as well and you're pretty much a European championship, it actually would lend to a pretty easier life than what MotoGP would be.
And it's
as well.
Like 6 months between each race. Superbikes was on the weekend at your favorite track most.
Well, it's funny, bro.
The power plant was still going.
Bro, this is the thing with World Superbikes. I followed them on Instagram, and they're like, he does it again. One, two, one. They're one, two in I don't know where it is. I don't know who won. I don't know anything. It's just a video of, obviously it was Bulliger won the race two.
Race two.
And I'm like, but like, tell me. Like, I'm not, you know, I don't follow it.
You're actually the barometer of every Superbike fan because yes. you're in at Australia.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then
yeah.
they just, it's all about trying to capture your interest for the rest of the year and yeah. it just slowly gets lost Twiddles throughout the, yeah. throughout the year.
Yeah, and for me, it's, yeah, I mean, while we're on this, what's going on with this super sport category they released?
So the R7, they're going to be R7s and I think 660s taking over from the 300s is what the messages that I got.
So in the World Superbikes.
Yeah. So instead of the 300 class, they'll be running like R7s. And that's when we had the influx of messages and Curdy, you got thrown under the bus a few times saying it's like an anime cup. It wouldn't be a 2-year anniversary show with one technical difficulty of our camera just shitting itself for a second. I don't know if our camera's listening, if the MSR fairies are listening, because it shit itself as we were talking about that.
I think they infiltrated the camera.
So yeah,
they're high tech, these guys.
Yeah, the trans
LBGQR.
So it is going to R7s, and as I was saying, is we're getting heaps of messages from the saying it's like the furry cup and the anime cup, and Curdy was getting thrown on the bus saying that he was gonna love it.
So all the furries and the,
because they ride R7s,
they all ride those bikes. Yeah, yeah. And what's the 660s?
The Aprilia 660. Oh, okay. That's what I think. Like, what they were saying is they have a championship in BSB where it's the R7s. I think.
So this is going
to
be.
I could be wrong.
Stock bike.
Don't know, bro. I'm sure they worked to a degree. I don't know if it's suspension and the pipe and shit on them. I assume and slicks, but
that's cool. I like that.
I don't know what else they will do to it. I'm sure there'll be like suspension setups and stuff to them.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. I think that's cooler than just having 300s roll around.
Yeah, I don't know what the lap times are going to be like. It'll be interesting to see the differences.
Yeah. I want them to be stock as. Like, I want it to be off the shelf.
Stock as a rock?
Yeah.
What about tires? Slicks?
No, I'll leave them on groove tires.
Like super courses or something?
Yeah.
I don't even know if they do super courses for their size. Do you know if they do super courses for an R7, Curdy? You might know that. What was that? Do you know if they do super courses for an R7? Yeah. Nah, it's all right. It's all good. If you knew, you knew. Yeah, I just don't know if they're big enough, like the rear.
Well, how big's the rear? Do we know?
Don't know, brother.
Oh, we can find out.
I don't... Nah, it's all good. It's all good. At Jamesy995, Argentinian fans are vulgar with how they treat other drivers.
I don't understand this. Why Argentina, of all places, have been so much abuse online, and it happens in a lot of world sports.
I don't know, bro. It's probably just their sporting,
they're passionate,
like culture.
Yeah,
like have you seen? I think this is Argentina. I could be completely wrong. Like Boca Juniors versus River Plate. So that's their two main soccer teams. And like, bro, a lady walked in. I think it was a Boca Juniors game. I watched the Argentinians come for us now. She came into a Boca Juniors game wearing like red, even though she was a Boca Juniors fan, they wear blue. And some guy like stabbed her. It's like, bro, they're crazy. But they're crazy.
What happened over the weekend as well, obviously it's well documented about Jack Doohan copying grief from them, but apparently Yuki Tsunoda's socials got flooded.
Why?
From Colapinto fans for racial vile comments after he crashed.
Only we're allowed to do that. why do they care?
I don't know. I think they think Colapinto should be in the Red Bull seat or something. I don't know.
That's like, strange,
it's,
isn't it?
It's and then Colapinto actually had to come out today and said, like, can you like calm down? Like, it's so bad for the sport. Like, you know, you're not helping me at all, you know? So yeah, it's a strange
one. They're a long way away, the Argentinians. Are down south. The thing of the South Americans, but they're crazy.
Well, yeah.
They got a whole culture on death. I watched a doco on it about
them. I know they are crazy, but like the Brazilian fans aren't like, I don't.
Yeah, they're more of a party.
Yeah, they don't get online and like, God, the comments were like with Jack Doohan, and they found his email and his phone number. And
I know, like threatening him and his missus and like, all this stuff.
Dude, like that's.
I've never been that fan where I've taken it that far.
Yeah, I don't want to be like that. Nowhere near like that. It's too much.
But how can you be like that? How can you be that passionate?
It's a soccer culture.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah. It comes from the soccer culture, like life or death. Like, that's their life.
Yeah, I'm just not like that. Like, okay, if my team loses, it sucks. But it's not... I'm not going out of my way to send an email and write in someone's comments and freak out for 2 weeks.
They riot and shit in the streets if the ref does a bad decision. Like, it's just ridiculous.
They get the cartel on the ref and break his legs. They do that or kill him. It's crazy, bro.
Yeah.
Anyway, pull your 80 in Argentina. You dumbos. What you get? Do you think...
Hang on.
Oh, hell, he's up.
So if you do own an R7...
Go on.
you can get a 180, 55, 17 Super Corsa, I believe SP V4. So that's the latest Pirelli tyre.
Gotcha.
But if you are going for the SC one, they do 180, 60, not 180, 55.
But you can get a Super Corsa.
You can get the Super Corsa. The 60 will be a different profile to the 55.
So the good thing about that is you'll be able to get that Super Corsa from motoheaven.com.au. Just a sneaky little plug there because they do Pirelli.
So they're going to run a Super Corsa tyre, we're going to call it, I reckon. That's our guess.
Yeah.
Super Sport.
All right. I like it.
Super Bike form. What is it called? Sports bikes formula.
Nah, I don't know what they called it, bro. At Willstone 1995. Do you think we will ever see a BMW on a MotoGP grid? Now, I want to answer this first. I'm going to say no. I don't think they're going to do it. I think they're cock-teasing us.
Yeah, okay. Oh, my theory is always 27 coming in with VR46, but... Yeah.
Hasn't even been a murmur of that lately.
No, the thing is, you got to remember we're a year and a half away from that season really kicking off.
But you'd think there would be something.
Development.
Yeah, somewhere.
Yeah. And if Martin's story can be broken within 12 hours of the meeting happening, I think if BMW were developing a MotoGP bike for 27, we'd know about it by now.
Yeah.
So I think Toprak really had that in his mind that it was going to happen. Obviously, he's been told or something that it's not happening, and then this is why he's exploring his options with Honda and.
So there's been rumors again that he's going to Yamaha Primac now. Like, bro, I can't keep up.
Yeah, well, Big Dob Campagnoli would love, I reckon, love it, like a big name like that.
Yeah, I think
he's big.
But I think I think Toprak runs like a big fat gold chain as well. So like the respect's there because of the chain.
Bro, dude, I want to see Toprak in MotoGP so
we all
bad,
do, bro.
Like, he's just such a cool, talented rider aura. It'd be great for the paddock and. Like, yeah, Johnny Ray, 5-time champion, 5 times in a row. Like, would have been cool to see him on a bike, but he doesn't bring the aura. He's just Toprak with his, you know, stoppies and, you know, the way he acts is cool.
I'm with you. He's MotoGP spec.
He is, yeah.
He's MotoGP.
Where Johnny Ray is Superbikes.
Yeah.
And Johnny Ray signed with.
Yeah, he's Yamaha now.
Yamaha for next year.
Oh, I don't know. Rumors
he's signing with Ducati team next year.
Bro, are you spitting World Superbike fucking knowledge at me? Rumors?
Oh, I follow it. I'm acting like ditzy around it. I'm acting ditzy.
Yeah, like a hot blonde chick.
Yeah. You know me. I'm on a motorcycle podcast here, so.
Yeah.
Gotta know something.
Yeah. I like it. At lou.v.dudu. The F1 rookie Fernando Alonso can be considered overrated, properly rated, or is he underrated?
Properly rated. Highly rated, definitely, in the Formula One community. It's probably a travesty at the end of his career. He's only going to be a 2-time world champion. Interesting comments. I'm sure you heard that over the team radio. He goes, I have to be the most unluckiest driver in the world after being, by the sounds of it, unfairly with the safety car that came out. But yeah, he could have won it in 2012 with Ferrari. They just didn't develop the car well enough in the that second half of the season. And Vettel just came with a bloody. Vettel just won, I think, the last 10 races in a row crazy and won the championship.
It's always about in-season development.
He had a terrible run with McLaren, obviously. Yeah. But yeah, I mean.
Properly rated, I agree. Properly rated.
Properly rated. I don't think he's underrated by any stretch and overrated. I don't think you can call him overrated because he still shows some.
Nah, no amazing... way, bro. No way. At _Derek Hall, I would say he's an OG listener. Derek Hall,
Dezza,
shout out,
yep.
Dez. Is Aprilia at risk of leaving MotoGP if they don't have any results in a couple years?
Yeah.
I think that's a knee-jerk reaction.
Yeah, I think they're such a big company now and such a... And I think MotoGP helps you sell bikes. Like, I'm telling you, James.
Yeah.
I bought an Aprilia myself. If they weren't in MotoGP, I wouldn't have bought that bike. And it's not any reason without their results. It's because... It's the notoriety of having your bike in a MotoGP paddock.
You know, it's a cool thing what Aprilia do. On the tank, they have how many world titles they've got on there.
Correct.
And it's like 60 titles or whatever it is. It's cool.
Yeah. So, and look, I don't think I am the outlier on that.
No, you're not.
Like, and I think that it's a marketing tool. You have to be in there. You have to be getting results.
It's just weird that they don't have a main sponsor. We've talked about this past three episodes, but it is weird.
I know, but they're sponsoring.
I'm not saying they're going to leave, but it's weird.
They're sponsoring their own company. That's the thing. Like, it's their company. That's what they want to showcase.
Yeah.
It's not the. I'm sure they can have a main sponsor if they want to.
Well, yeah, we'll sponsor them for $50 a year.
50? I have to take a loan out for that.
$10.
I think it's they're advertising Aprilia. That's their thing.
True. Maybe that's what they want to do.
I'm sure that's what they want
to
do.
Yeah, like there has to be a reason.
If they're getting paid, oh, we offer you $10 million for the year. Oh, no, we want 12. They're not going to say no to the 10. They're going to come to an agreement somewhere, surely.
You'd think so, but they're a bit crazy, man. They're about to let Walmart in walk, so.
Oh, well, that's not their fault.
They signed Marco Bezzecchi.
Oh, it's two good signings though. Like they did the right thing, and they didn't realize that Bez has just wormed himself into fraud category.
I mean, it was fraud, bro, at VR46.
But who should have they taken last year instead?
Bastianini.
Yeah, but Bastianini already signed.
I know, but that was on him.
In that part where they had this when they signed that rider, who should they have signed?
Did you? Was he up for grabs?
Yeah, bro. Yeah, come on.
I'd rather Digia than Benz, bro.
Of course. But Digia, like, bro, La Familia. You can't. Yeah, he'll be there forever.
Yeah, but Digia's La Familia. He wasn't even in the VR46 Academy.
Well, probably.
And he's Italian, like Aprilia.
Yeah.
Go on, git.
Bro, you know what? That's insane. That yes, I agree with you. But Benz has. You got to remember, we've got quick, short-term memories. He's a race winner.
Bro, but this is 2 years ago, man.
Doesn't matter. You don't lose talent overnight, James.
I know, but like, is either in his mental... He's mentally cooked. There's something going on.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
I know he's got the talent. That's why he's in fraud. He should be doing better than what
correct,
he is.
Yeah. Same as Vinales. He's got the talent, but he shows it twice a year.
Yeah. So, it just... Anyway, it doesn't make sense. At B_Rothberg_ Lando Norris will be at Red Bull Racing next year after Max heads to Aston and Oscar is number one at McLaren. Thoughts?
Can you reread the question? That was a bit of a tongue twister.
Lando Norris will be at Red Bull next year. Max will be at Aston Martin next year and Oscar will be number one at McLaren.
Jeez, massive call.
Adrian Newey.
But the thing is, like, I just don't see how, like, Lance Stroll, he's got the infinite contract. Is he just going to move aside for
Max Verstappen? I don't know.
The other thing is, if you have the opportunity to sign Max Verstappen at what any cost, you sign him.
Well, and Adrian Newey's going to have some influence in that.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Yeah, I think Aston Martin have to get a world-class driver. They've spent all this money on Adrian Newey. They've got one of the best facilities now in the Formula One paddock. And they have to look at going, well, Lance Stroll is not a world-class driver and you've got a 42-year-old veteran there. They have to throw some money at a world-class driver. But yeah, I mean, it has to be Max, isn't it?
Yeah. But I can't see Lando going to Red Bull either. Like, why would he go?
Mm. But that would be an obvious option for Red Bull.
100%. Yeah.
You know what? That could happen.
Yeah, it's good. That's good.
Could
that's
definitely
good.
Happen.
It's a good take.
And I don't think Max in the Mercedes environment would work because I think Max likes doing his own thing. He likes.
They're pretty loose Red Bull.
Yeah,
agree.
I think. Like, I mean, bro,
he thrives in chaos. Chaos, bro.
Yeah, it's like Richmond 2017.
Yeah,
they introduced the chaos ball.
Yeah, mosquito fleet. So made me cry. That premiership made me cry. Grown man cry. But you got robbed right in front of me.
But for me, yeah, I mean, Max, I love to see Max and Aston Martin.
Bro, my point is, remember what I said. They must be doing something. If Adrian Newey's got so much pull, he's not going there just to look after Lance Stroll and Fernando Alonso, God bless him, who's 4,000 years old.
Yeah.
There's got to be play. There's got to be something in the background happening.
Agreed.
And I think that's so obvious.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
All right, last one. That's Matt's Wii 93. Aprilia has always been an average bike. Mav and Aleix made it look better than what it was. It's a big call.
Yeah, I mean, you have been on record to say it was one of the better bikes.
100%. And like, agreed. Bez should be doing a lot better on that bike than what is happening. And then we've seen nothing, obviously, out of Martin. And we've seen glimpses of a rookie Aigura.
Yeah, but more of a glimpse. I mean, for him to put on fifth in his first race was incredible.
Yeah, just a glimpse.
Yeah, I mean, he's done not much since.
He's done a fourth and a fifth and a few, maybe a seventh or sixth or something like that. And a couple top tens. I mean, so he's been doing pretty good.
Pretty good. I mean, he's definitely outscoring Bez in the championship, I'm assuming.
Yeah. Bez is hardly finishing a race.
Yeah.
So, but it's just, I don't know, they're in shambles and I don't know how you could even fix that.
That's all I got. It's complete shambles now with Martin's news.
And Ducati's just rubbing their hands together.
Yeah, I know.
One year they could have taken it to them, either them or KTM. They both just...
Oh, it's just so disappointing. What could have been this year with Martin? I don't think the bike's there, though. It's not... It doesn't have the race pace over a whole lap, a whole race distance.
It doesn't even have...
Martin would have put on pole and that sort of thing.
But it hasn't had an off-season to develop. They've had Bez to develop it. Like,
think this is his first time on the bike.
Yeah.
You got Martin, first guy on the bike. You got Aigura, rookie. And then Raul Fernandez, arguably the worst rider on the grid, apart from Chancha. You haven't got a lot of hope.
Nah. But in development season, off-season's huge, man. How much leap you can make.
But Aprilia didn't have much choice. I mean, you have to sign the rookie.
Yeah, that's
and then
fine.
Obviously, Aleix Espargaró retiring and they wanted to move on Vinales, or he wanted to leave. So they had no other choice.
Bro, on paper, amazing team. Jorge Martin. I'm already forgetting his name.
But the thing is, you know what's crazy? You never thought after Thailand that the Tech 3 boys would be outperforming Aprilia.
Oh, I know, bro.
You know, like we saw, like that's been the massive difference, the Tech 3 boys, because they were
down and out.
Well, best in India as well. They were second last and third last in Thailand from memory. So even if I don't know if they even finished, so that's an episode, Jimmy.
That's an episode, mate. Welcome back.
Thank you.
It's 2 years. Congratulations. Thank you, Curdy. Thank you to Daniel, who's helped out over the years.
Yep.
Done a lot of work for us as well. So Curdy, you've been awesome.
Tearing up, I think, Curdy. Look at that.
Thanks for all our people who've come on, Danby, Adrian, all the guests over time.
Yep.
And thank you to all the listeners. You guys have made it.
We've got a big treat next Monday. We've got Big Davos.
Superbike Shaw's back on.
And we've got Silverstone and Monaco to talk about. And then that week, we're also filming that awesome pod with the bros. That's what we're going to say.
Yeah.
Two guys who are current racers. And then,
King of the paddock, bro.
King of the paddock, Wog Boy. So it's going to be a huge week next week. Massive couple of weeks in the motorsport game. We've got, Indy 500 on this weekend. Silverstone, Monaco. Poh.
Right, then straight after that, we got our normal pod and Patreon again.
Jeepers.
That's all happening. There's too much content. Curdy. Curdy's chiming in.
Curdy, you have the last word for the day.
Last bit, a thank you to the camera, specifically the SD card, for being an absolute lip-wristed twaddle to make my life a living fucking hell. Good day to you guys.